From mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. Yes, we are going to have what I think will be a fascinating conversation this hour. Once again, we have producer Hardwood Forrest Connor in the studio. We have investigator Shelley Wright. We have Kuka. We have Mr. Mobius. And we have Rob from Holland. And, you know, I alluded to a story earlier that I'll bring up again right now. A story. Boy, we are getting just a ton of these Florida stories, aren't we? This is from Flagler County, Florida. An incident occurred there recently that has generated a good deal of controversy. Apparently, a man drove past a red light and was photographed with a flash by a pole-mounted camera. The guy then turned his vehicle around and jumped out of his car with an object like a baseball bat and decided to destroy the camera that had just photographed him. He beat the crap out of it. And later, of course, they were able to catch him nonetheless. And this is raising this question about how far is this surveillance society going to go with Big Brother clamping down. And Rob, you were born in Holland.
Absolutely.
You've traveled the world. You've been all over Europe. And, of course, the U.S. has this very interesting relationship with Europe because most of us came from Europe hundreds of years ago. And it's funny to sort of watch how that this Big Brother mentality is bounced back and forth between these two countries. Obviously, in the U.S., we have guns all over the place. There are very few guns in Europe, comparatively speaking.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And yet, in the U.S., we also have, at this point, less random surveillance of people via cameras and more in Europe.
Absolutely, yeah.
Without getting into some kind of a political debate, let's talk a little bit about what this says regarding this sense that there is some conspiracy to take people's rights and power away. There's some dark, nefarious background at work. Do you think you see more of that in Europe or in the U.S.?
I don't know. If you look at it, we have a lot of cameras in areas where people like to hang out, simplest way. We got the bars, the restaurants. That's where you have the cameras hang. And nobody cares because we know it's protecting us. Recently, they had the gay parade.
Mm-hmm.
You might have heard about that. I mean, there are about a million people on the street. And they arrested, after a couple of hours, they went out to police and arrested some like 58 people from Romania who were pickpocketing because they registered them on the camera. So what is wrong with that? And we had some images, you can actually see them on the internet too. Some blokes from Belgium went for a night out in Holland. And I don't know how to put it politely, but they really kicked the guy so badly, he ended up in hospital. And those pictures were straight online. Everyone, the police actually put them on the internet to identify those people. And they were arrested, and they go to jail. And I think I like that. That's a good thing. And if you got nothing to hide, there is nothing to fear of, at least not with the camera surveillance. I don't want to say about any other thing, but I don't like them to watch my computer or to look into it because that's my private world. But on the street, I'm just a public person. I have nothing to hide there.
So do you feel when you come to the U.S. that you are freer in any way than you would be in Europe?
No, absolutely not.
No?
No.
And so why do you feel freer in Europe?
Well, for one thing, if I'm in a restaurant or at Walmart because someone used, what do you call it, bad language, to put it politely,
mm-hmm.
I will never be arrested for that in Holland, not in a lifetime, because I have the freedom to say whatever I think. And we got the freedom of speech and meaning. I can say whatever I think. It doesn't imply that I can say you are a bad guy, to put it politely,
mm-hmm.
but I can say I think you are a bad guy.
Right.
And that's my right. I can even see that about the queen or the king in this case that we have now. I can say whatever I feel in Europe, and I don't think that right is really respected here in the U.S.
Now, that's pretty ironic, isn't it? Because that, obviously, when the revolution was fought here, it spearheaded the idea of free speech, which wasn't available in Europe. And now, do you feel like then the pendulum is swinging back a little the other way?
I think so. If I hear that you can get a huge fine by saying on the radio the S or the F word.
Right.
That's, we had the guys over. That was actually funny. We have a talk show somewhere around 6. So dinner time. People like to watch it while they eat. And they had the guys from the A-team. Face and what's the other one? The crazy guy, the helicopter pilot, you know?
Hannibal.
That guy. Okay. Now, that's the, is that not the old guy?
It's Hayes.
Oh, yeah. Hannibal's the old guy. It was Murdoch.
Murdoch, yeah. Those two were there, and they said, what? Can you say beep? Or, but we don't beep. So they actually, I think they said the S-word and the F-word about 50 times in three minutes just to see if it could. Yes, we can. We don't care. And if there's a show like they aired, they aired some talk shows that they do, and you hear the beep. Believe me, one or two beeps in a program is enough to have people complain at the television station and say, please take that show off the air. We don't like that. The guy says something, so he says something, and nobody cares. And I have to take care about my own, because I was just this close to saying something else. But
So when you project into the future, because you've seen so many different cultures and civilizations, when you look at, let's just say, 10 years down the road, at the pace at which technology is developing, are you more frightened by what you have seen happening in the U.S. than you are in Europe, or is it about the same?
Yeah, I think it's not that much difference. We have, for instance, right now, control on the road. That means I drive somewhere under the cameras, and after a certain amount of miles, I have more cameras hanging there, and they check what my speed was. So I get a ticket. Simple. They flash you, and you got a ticket home. There's nothing you can do about it, but there is a big discussion. How long can you keep those records? Because they flash. If you didn't do anything wrong, you drove like it should be, like 50 miles or whatever, it means that they make a picture of you. They make another picture of you, and they make along the road 5 more pictures of you. What do they do? Now, they have by law decided now that it may not keep them for more than 48 hours. Although the police said, yeah, but it is cool, because now we can tell this guy was on that road 6 months ago. Yeah, but that's not the idea. I mean, it is purely set up for speed control. And that's with a lot of things. Cameras, the surveillance cameras have no recording longer than an hour. The police sits behind him. If they see something, they can actually press the button and say, we want to save this part because someone has been is robbing something or whatever. I think that's a fair thing. But anyone else is just, you know, with the old-fashioned recording. You record 1 hour and it starts moving on. You keep that 1 hour. If anything happens in an hour, you get it. But I think, why should I feel afraid? I'm more afraid of the NSA spying on what I do on the Internet. I mean, I have nothing to hide. That's a good thing. But on the other hand, it's still my life. And if I go to the bank, I don't want them to see my bank numbers or spying on my passwords or whatever. And that scares me more. And that is happening in the U.S. and not in Europe. We're actually totally angry about it.
Well, you know, one thing I think is fascinating about the Internet is that it's going to show us eventually, once and for all, whether or not humans are more good or bad in their basic human nature, because the Internet gives you the freedom to do whatever you want to do as long as you have pure access. And I know in Holland, most drugs are legal, right?
But hard proof.
Okay.
And even that is more or less, if your medical reasons, you can get anything.
Prostitution is legal?
Yeah, they have to pay tax. that's true. They say, okay, it's a profession.
Yeah,
we accept that, but then you have to pay taxes as well.
And well, so but yeah, so it's okay to do it as long as you are registered and you're paying your taxes.
You got it. You got your medical care and everything.
And okay, what about and this is it's not Dark 30, but we're in Safe Harbor. How is bestiality viewed?
Not allowed.
Okay, so that's not acceptable.
No, off limits.
There is a boundary even for the Dutch.
No, everything normal. What you and I would consider normal is allowed. Yes, just as simple as that.
So you have gotten sort of a preview of what humanity is like if they are granted freedoms that we are not familiar with in this country so much. Now, there may be isolated pockets, you know, where people are loosening up about marijuana, where you can go to Nevada and get some prostitutes, et cetera. But by and large, the country doesn't function that way. And so if, as time goes on, and people spread more ideas, and the Internet reveals more and more about human nature, if this country becomes more like Europe, where all these freedoms are granted, you see that as a good thing, as a step up. Is there anything to fear about it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Is there nothing to worry about that you can
see? No, why would you? I mean, this is the whole point. If you make drinking legal, what does kids do? They drink. Idiot. Yeah, if you make drinking legal, in Holland, it is still 14 for beer and soft drinks, 16 for anything a little bit stronger, and 18 for... They actually want to move it up to Christian parties, but... That is what it is right now, but it means that I know how to handle alcohol.
Right.
Yeah. If I if you go now to the Caribbean and you see all these girls coming from school and they have their big parties, they're all drunk. Because they don't know how to handle it. We know how to handle it. Yeah. Look at a French person. A French person will give his kids a glass of wine at dinner. So kids know what alcohol actually means. So by the time they get a little older, they still drink their wine and they still drink something, but they know where their limit is. They know their boundaries. Because they said, hey, I know getting drunk is nice for one weekend, but I want to stay home when I'm drunk. I don't want to be in the street. And, you know, and that is what's happening here. I see too many, what is it, in the past I've seen so many kids here in Asheville on the street, living on the street and drinking. I mean, that is caused because it's forbidden. If you make it legal, it's far more easier. People don't have to steal to get something.
We're coming up on a break here soon, but one thing I've always thought was interesting was tracing the path of the Knights Templar, which was a group that was very secretive. They operated around the year 1100 to around 1300, and these guys apparently discovered some kind of a big treasure in the Middle East. That's what the legend tells us, and they became very prominent in Europe until eventually they were stamped out by a number of kings. And one of the theories is that a lot of the wealth the Knights Templars had was taken over to the area around the Netherlands. And after we come back to this break, I'd like to see if you believe that one of the reasons that Holland has a good reputation with money is that there is some connection there to historic powers that be that are controlling the finances that spread across the world.
Sounds nice, but I got my own ideas about it.
All right, we'll find out what those are when we come back. I'm talking right now with Rob from Holland, and you're listening to Speaking of Strange. Yeah, welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And we're talking right now about interesting comparisons related to the USA and Europe regarding the role of Big Brother and privacy and who pulls the strings behind the scenes. Especially talking with Rob from Holland. He is a world traveler. He's a great friend of ours who stops by the studio from time to time to give us an update on how things are going in that part of the world. And so now, before the break, I was mentioning that there are people who have theorized that some of these secret societies in history, like the Knights Templar, found treasures and took them and sort of hid them in various places around Europe and created a greater financial stability for some of those spots, which remains to this day. Why does Holland have a reputation for being fiscally responsible compared to so many other countries that are having problems in Europe?
I think we merchants very well. I mean, we traveled the whole world before anyone else did. We were the first who was allowed to do business with Japan. And then we're talking in, 1700, 1800.
Right.
There is actually a bill, the Japanese built a replica of the original city that the Dutch built in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, it's actually a nice museum. I watched it I've been there once. But the thing is, we always have been very, also on the bad side, doing business very well. I mean, like Indonesia, we occupied Indonesia and took all the spices from Indonesia. I mean, we made good money by importing spices to Europe. From Japan, we brought their beautiful art. But also, that is something you have to make your excuse for, they say, but we started the slavery. The Dutch were the ones that actually imported the black people to the other side of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we're clever because, well, actually not that clever. You should be talking Dutch right now.
Mm-hmm.
If we would not have sold New Amsterdam, New York, to the British, and we actually changed that for a place called Suriname in the north of South America,
mm-hmm.
because there was the other stuff we needed to make aluminium.
Mm-hmm.
There was oil, there was rubber, there was everything. And we found that far more interesting than a place here on the coast of North America. So the Dutch have said, okay, let's make some money. And we really made money with a lot of trades. We did always, the biggest fleet in the world was Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the most ships going on. That's why I've been a sailor for many years, because I've seen the whole world. And I've seen how they're doing business. We simply go to any port in the world and you will see, compare, the most ships will be Dutch.
What is the Dutch word for cheese?
Kaas.
Kaas, okay. I'd read somewhere years ago that one of the sort of etymologies presented for the term Yankee was that a lot of the Dutch cheesemakers around the New York area were sort of called by the British what we would think of as John Cheese, just another guy who makes cheese, which approximated Yankees, and that the term Yankees is a derivative of the Dutch cheesemakers.
I believe that. I mean, that's your culture.
Yeah. Now, okay, I'm sure you've heard of the Bilderbergers, right?
Absolutely.
And you see, I'm looking at a page here with a picture of the Bilderberg Hotel. This is a huge hotel in the Netherlands. It was built mm-hmm. in 1954, and this is one of the darlings of conspiracy theorists around the world. They claim that every year a group of people that originally met at the Bilderberg Hotel are now meeting and conspiring to control the media, the government, the finances, the top 1%, you know, that one, maybe even less than that, more like that 0.0% or whatever of people, 0.01%, that they are getting together and they are conspiring to control the world. Now, have you ever been to the Bilderberg Hotel?
And I know the story, actually, because how did this start? I mean, the so-called Prince Bernard, that was the late husband of the former, now we have one queen before this, we have Beatrix, before that was Juliana, her husband, during the war. That was Bernard. And after the war, he said, we have to get all these huge companies together to rebuild Europe. And that they took 3 weeks or something, and it was in the Bilderberg Hotel that it was built. So that's where the name is coming from. And still, they do every year come together somewhere. Recently, one in France, actually, a guy who was actually capable of making recordings of what was going on. But it was said, for instance, that our queen was going there, too, because she is the biggest shareholder of Shell.
Mm.
Yeah. She still is.
Mm-hmm.
And Shell is definitely the, if you are the chairman of the board of Shell, you will be definitely invited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there are now Russian companies, big ones, that are invited, too. But it is the main, and they actually try to see how can we stabilize the economic situation in the world. That is what it's... The different people that spied on them
mm-hmm.
and actually had a chance to record or whatever what was said, they all say the same thing. It is not trying to control the world in a way we take the power. Now, it's to have all our playgrounds, but in a stable way. So we don't want to have an economic war going on between the U.S. and Europe. So you have to discuss what we're going to do. You've got to make more of this product, and I've got to make more of this product, and we both have something to in and export.
I think you're a Bilderberger. That's what I think. Listen to how he sugarcoated that, guys.
Mm-hmm. I'm just someone who is very interested in about everything that I can put my eyes on.
You're a spy, aren't you? You're over here from the Bilderbergers.
You got it.
A typical Dutch New World Order
Merchants,
Illuminati,
yeah, Illuminati
agent.
Absolutely. I built those stones there in, what is it, in Georgia?
The Georgia Guidestones.
Yeah, absolutely. They scare me, by the way, but they have a lot of good points in there, too. Yeah, I agree.
So you don't feel like there is this sort of shadow government that's operating in your neck of the woods over there that people fear?
I definitely believe that a lot of the big companies have influence on what the government is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I think right now with the openness that we have, it will be very hard to really control government.
Well, one thing that you guys do have that I desperately wish we had here were bidets. Isn't that right?
We don't have them. France do.
France does?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I envy the French, then. I thought they were supposed to be stinky. They're the ones who are properly cleaning their behinds?
Yeah, it's a little weird, because if you go to a French hotel, mostly you have to share the bedroom.
Ah.
The bathroom is mostly along the hallway where you go down up. The whole hallway is using two toilets for, let's say, 12 rooms.
Mm-hmm.
All the hotel. But you do have a bidet.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the people using that for? Not for spraying their behinds, to put it politely, but they mostly try to press it to their thumb through. So that's it's nasty. I don't like that.
What are they doing? Did I miss this?
Yeah, you missed something.
Okay.
You got it.
Well, I've always thought that, you know, that's a very civilized way of cleaning oneself, to have a nice warm jet of water.
Absolutely.
And why didn't that catch on here?
How the hell do I know?
It's our new enterprise, Mobius. I've often thought, you know, somebody's going to spearhead bidets in America eventually. Ladies, you agree, right? Wouldn't you like to have that? You could just sit there for like 30 minutes listening to your iPod.
Girls spraying. Don't do that. We don't make a point of staying there.
Well, because you don't have a bidet. That's what I'm saying. You need to have that comfort in your life.
A little fountain coming up and you sit on top of it.
Exactly. Why? What could be better? That's one of the top best things. It's like ice cream, beer, bidets. Those are the three best things in the world, right?
As a kid, I was at a party.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy came out of the bathroom kind of drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And he made the famous statement, "Wow, you have the strangest warm water waterfowl in there."
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about some paranormal stuff, because I find it, especially when I travel around the world and I go to a place like Puerto Rico where I've spent a lot of time, it's weird to me how that certain cultures don't like to talk about the paranormal as much. But in Europe, they love to talk about the paranormal.
Oh, yeah.
Psychical research was born in Europe, and It's a funny cultural thing, and I know that you hear some great stories, and you have traveled to some spooky places and seen some amazing things. So we'll dig into some of that when we come back as well, and maybe we'll give out some vacation ideas for those of you who might want to travel across the pond. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's a show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
could tell.
Speaking of strange, I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. If you haven't been there yet, go to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P. Go to joshuapwarren.com. Look at the world's wildest ghost photos. It's all free. These are some fantastic pictures and video clips that I think are worthwhile, many of which I believe or know are authentic. And while you're there, check out the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator for the home, especially while you still have an opportunity before winter sets in. In fact, we have a new payment plan there that makes it very easy for you. No payments or interest for 6 months if you apply. And just watch a little video and see why the Sunshine Simple Generator is so popular and why that we're selling them all over the country already. I'm in the studio with a great panel, and before we get back to Rob from Holland and talk about some paranormal stuff, Mobius, you've been pointing out along the theme of Big Brother and government infiltration that new information has come to light about the role that the NSA is playing in monitoring everything that we do in this country. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, now what's happening?
It seems that the government has a huge control of the internet through the DNS numbers that websites are assigned.
Mm-hmm.
It works kind of like a phone number that every internet site has an IP number that when you go to that site, it's provided to you on the fly. Apparently, the NSA has been faking the IP numbers for sites such as Google or virtually any other site you may think of and doing a man-in-the-middle attack. They look like you've connected to Google or whatever site you think you may have connected to, even with SSL security, but you're actually communicating directly to them, and they're faking the connection back to the main site. So they're doing this all over the planet and intercepting massive amounts of data for no obvious reason.
So what are the repercussions for this? Nothing at this point?
There are no repercussions, but certainly why this is being done is almost mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that to do this, you would have a calculated target and a reason,
mm-hmm.
but it even seems like it would be affecting people in the U.S. The more we find out about the spying, it goes to cell phones, to every operating system, to your Windows. Virtually every bit of technology at this point is now compromised.
See, back in the good old days, if they wanted to spy on you, they had to plan ahead, they had to pack a lunch, they had to get little secret wire devices and go out and hide in the bushes.
And permission from the court.
Yeah, sit there and shiver in the cold, and, you know, they had to work for it. What an easy time to be involved in the intelligence community. You just have some geek sitting there at a computer, voyeuristically watching everything that everybody's doing. And it's funny to me that when it comes to even the paranormal, you have a lot of paranormal experts out there now because they sit around looking at Google and websites all day instead of actually getting out there in the field and having experiences and doing investigations. And it's one of the great things about you being a world traveler. We were talking before the break about how that people in Europe especially seem to be much more open to spooky and paranormal phenomena being discussed than some other parts of the world that I've been to. Why do you think that is? And is anything sort of bubbling up in conversation there at this point that maybe doesn't make it into the mainstream U.S. media?
I think that we're very down to earth, to put it quite simple. So we're willing to accept things that we see or that we hear or that someone has. If I believe you, I think I can believe you, then I got on the subject to think about. And I discussed that with my friends. Listen, this guy was telling this and this. What do you think about it? And in conversation like that, a lot of things come up by others. I said, I experienced something like that as well, or I've seen something like this as well. And I think we're very open about it. We're not the shame type. We're not ashamed about anything, I think. That's why we're so liberal. Everyone is always saying, oh, Dutch are so liberal. Look at the beach, they're walking around naked. Yeah. Because we don't care. We are a person, we are a very strong individual, and we have our own ideas, and we freely and open discuss those. So if we see something or feel something, we're more than happy to share that with others. I think that that's the whole point.
And so, what interesting paranormal phenomena have you encountered lately?
Lately. Well, I want to look at a very, a very interesting story, actually. I do a lot of writing about, in Dutch, of course, about paranormal. And I had a call, some person contacting me. The lady said, I hear in my house constantly the weirdest sounds, noises, people walking around, stuff like that. Are you willing to come over and have a look for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
So I decided on a very rainy day, as I remember. I drove about 2 hours to get there. And the crazy thing is her sister, the lady was in a wheelchair, that's for one thing, with a bottle of oxygen with her and everything. And her daughter was there, and she took me up stairs in the first floor, looking around everything. She said, you can open every drawer, whatever you want to do. See that there's nobody here. She said, because we have been hearing it this morning already. So when we come back, maybe the sounds come back. I checked everything, went downstairs, we had a coffee and a chat, and suddenly I could hear like someone like
pitter-patter, pitter-patter?
Walking.
Okay.
Yeah, and you could hear a little bit music like playing and people talking. Kind of weird. And at a certain point, I looked out of the window, and I see a guy staring in. Actually, you got your attention. You know, you got the feeling someone is looking. So you look aside, and I see a guy staring in. And she said, oh, yeah, I forget to tell you. I always see that face coming up. And when I saw it again, I rushed to the door, get outside. There's absolutely nobody there. I took all the information that I had in me and went home. I promised to be in contact later on because he said there's more things and I'm more than willing to come over and see what's going on. And the first thing you do, of course, in my case, if you want to be an investigator, you investigate. So I first checked all the old newspapers. He moved in that house about 12 years ago. So I said, okay, I'm going to look. And I discovered very soon, actually, that there was a guy killed outside the house. There was the neighbor sneaking and looking in at the guy who lived there. He walked outside with a kitchen knife and killed the bloke. So that was happening. The police reports, I could see, find about everything online. And then I tried to discover where the heck is the music coming from. The people walking. That should be a connection. Couldn't find anything. So I called the local police. I said, can you please, I tried to investigate something. This lady tells me about the face looking in and everything. She said, oh, we know. She called about six times a couple of years ago. There's a guy looking into my house. So he said, we don't respond anymore. We told her, we made some extra patrols. There's nobody. He said, but now you mention it, you say this guy killed. He said, let me look it up. He looked it up. He said, and in the report it said there was a group of people two houses away from there who had a party who was disturbing the police at their work. And they actually had to call for extra help to get those people away so they could actually see what was going on. So the connection was there. So I had this in mind, and actually I got called. I think I called her about telling her, and then she said, I had her daughter online, and she said, my mom is back in hospital. Like, she goes every month for 3 days in hospital for kind of treatment. And she said, but I ought to tell her that you wanted to talk to her. And actually, I got called a day later by the night nurse. And the night nurse said, you know what? Please come tonight, she said, because whenever this lady is here, nobody want to be in her room. They scare the living out of her. She said, because we hear voices, we hear noises, we don't understand what it is. I had afternoon shift, so I worked till 11:30. I said, okay, we'll be there. Make sure that the night guard let me in, and I will be there. So I was there about 2 o'clock at night. And it was total quiet in the hall. We looked in. There's this big window like a radio studio. We can look inside, see the lady sleeping. So I went back with the girl to about 2 doors away where the lady, where the night watch is sitting. We had a coffee. We talked a bit. And suddenly we could hear something like, there's something going on, little noise. You don't know what it is. You just have this sense. So we went straight back to the room. And actually, I couldn't... You couldn't see something. She was laying there, but you could clearly hear people talking. You hear a radio play. And actually, the nurse heard it too, and she said, there are people that stay in the room on the other side that have been complaining about the noise at night, like we were playing a radio. And I could see a little bit like, yeah, not real persons or whatever, a little bit like flickering light. Nothing more. Now, a week later, I have been to her, to the lady, when she got back home, explained to her exactly what I've seen and what I think is my conclusion, what was going on, that she dragged this whole thing, was stick to her and even moved around when she got to this hospital. Since then, she called me later, a couple of weeks later, she said, since I know what it is, I haven't seen or heard a beep. And that's no joke. So since I know what it is, it's like, okay, said the first time I heard it, I think, okay, that is that. I know now what it is. Just I've never heard it again.
Wow. So, you know, it's funny how that when you have a person who seems to be almost a haunted person, mm-hmm. these things follow
yeah, yeah.
them. The person's mind has a relationship with the activity.
Absolutely.
And, you know, in fact, last week we were talking about whether or not certain people can go into a place that's active and clear spirits and help them move on with just their thoughts alone.
Mm-hmm.
Story like that certainly makes it seem possible. Okay, great. We're going to take another break when we come back. Mobius, I want to get an update of this hour about the UFO activity lately as well. And then we'll be moving on to the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It is called Speaking of Strange. final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And next hour, what we call it the Dark 30 Hour. This is when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news, often more sordid and seedy, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So stick around if you think it's for you. And before we dig into all that Dark 30 stuff, let me just remind you again about Puppy Fest. Yes, that's our family-friendly event. Puppy Fest is next Saturday at the U.S. Cellular Center. Go look it up, puppyfest.com. Mobius, let's wrap up this second hour by giving everybody a bit of an update on what's been happening in the world of ufology. What's going on?
For the last couple of months, India and China have been very active on the border, as in hundreds of sightings being seen. Neither China nor India understand, but they are actively investigating. In the U.S., most of the craft that are being seen either tend to be triangular or tend to be red or orange plasma-like objects. And yes, all over Europe, U.S., in the whole world, UFOs, I can't count it. It's been off the charts for now about 2 years.
You know, it seems like so many UFOs are being seen, people are paying even less attention to it anymore, is it? Seeing UFOs is becoming less paranormal and more normal now, isn't it?
Yes. Some of the photographs, I'm looking at a triangle, it's very detailed. It kind of looks like the Belgium Triangle, but nobody's particularly paying attention. It's just, it's flooded.
So, we keep waiting for some type of mass invasion to occur. But it doesn't really make sense that that's going to happen, does it?
No. I think whatever's going on is something different than the reality we normally think about. It's almost like a fringe reality. But it's not an invasion. It's more of an awareness.
Do you think it may be that UFO activity is increasing, not because that the beings are doing more, but because that we humans are evolving and we are beginning to perceive them more and better?
I think that is a very accurate statement, yes.
So the change is within us.
Consciousness is definitely an element.
And that, you know, if you look back thousands of years ago when all of these religions were being formed and people were having encounters with these celestial beings, they were less skeptical at that time because they acknowledged their ignorance about what the universe was. They didn't know if the Earth was round or flat, and they didn't know what a meteor was when it fell from the sky, that kind of thing. And it may be that their open-mindedness gave them the sense of awareness. Science, however, made us very arrogant and started closing our minds down. And so for a long time, we've been very doubtful of these other realms. But now, fortunately, science has gotten deep enough into the human brain that we are beginning to open back up again when we hear scientists like Michio Kaku and cosmologists talk about these other dimensions and how we now have the math to justify it. So maybe we're over that hump of blocking things out, and we are gradually going to be opening up to perceiving them again over the next 100, 200,000 years.
There is a video I posted to our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody did it with night vision, and they captured a very bright object splitting into two objects and moving in different directions at very high speed. I don't think there's any Newtonian explanation that would embrace what you're seeing. Now, quantum physics, this is very easy. I don't think quantum physics would even blink at such a thing.
Mm-hmm. So, ultimately then, do you feel that, well, you have these folks out there like Prophet Yahweh, who we haven't heard from in many years.
Mm-hmm.
You think there are individuals out there who can not only open their minds and see these things, but open other people's minds when they are in that person's presence so they can see them?
Yes. I was an active participant in Fact or Faked. I did a lot of their reverse investigations and helped them. And 99% of the time, I was a debunker. But one of the few times I saw videos I could not explain was an associate of Prophet Yahweh. And I still don't know what was on those videos, but he seemed to be calling down something. I don't think it was faked. I think the videos were genuine. But he was just simply too much of a racial issue to him, the way he thought, and his religious beliefs to approach. But it may be the most bizarre people who are able to do these things.
Well, what we need to get together and just take a group out and meditate one night and just see what we can call down from the sky. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it will be the Dark 30 Hour, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's Speaking of Strange.
Writing on the wall.